Harper Audio presents Some Remarks, Essays and Other Writing by Neal Stephenson. Performed by Jeff Cummings.
Arsbestos, 2012. As a boy, watching screen adaptations of Dickens's A Christmas Carol, knowing nothing of Victorian England, I had only the vaguest understanding of what Bob Cratchit did for a living. Yet, I sensed just how unpleasant his life was from the fact that he had to spend the whole day sitting on his bum. Scrooge, on the other hand, was generally depicted up on his feet, prowling through the counting house. Somehow, that was enough to tell a little boy in the 1960s everything about the class divide separating these two characters. At about the same time, a few of my schoolmates began to show up occasionally in leather shoes as opposed to sneakers. I sensed the beginning of a trend that would lead, in a few years' time, to all of us wearing cramped, hard shoes, impossible to walk in, and imprisoned at desk jobs to the end of our days, supervised and sniped at by ambulatory Scrooges. I began to take inventory of careers in which it was allowable to stand up and walk around. I have enough media savvy now to understand that the real-life Scrooges of the Victorian age probably spent at least as many hours on their arses as their Cratchits, and that the people who adapted the story for the screen were employing a visual shorthand. People who can move around have more freedom, hence higher status than the desk-bound. The metaphor is carried through faithfully to Tiny Tim, Cratchit's son, who is the only person in Victorian London even less mobile than his dad. More mawkish screen adaptations of the story sometimes end with Tim, suddenly cured by Scrooge-subsidized medical care, spiking his crutch and doing a fandango around the Christmas tree. The same shorthand is, of course, universal in film and television, where heroes stride and pace and run and dive. The desk-bound are dweebs, losers, nebbishes. The class divide even extends to seating on airplanes. When the jet taxis to its gate and comes to a stop and the little ding sounds, the aisle seat dwellers jump to their feet, claim space, and haul down their bags, while those stuck in the window seats can only crane their necks and meekly await permission to move. All this was of merely abstract interest to me for a good number of years, until I found myself attending conferences and meetings with people who, unlike me, had not gone to irrational lengths to establish themselves in ambulatory careers. They racked up an amount of chair time that I simply could not believe was real. My ability to be of any use whatsoever in such contexts was limited strictly by how long I was able to remain on my arse. Not very long, as it turned out. Later, informed by healthcare pros that years or even decades would be guillotined from my life expectancy if I didn't spend a certain amount of time every week in aerobic exercise, I got into the habit of playing video games while pumping an elliptical trainer. This worked surprisingly well, but only kept my legs moving for 45-minute stretches a few times a week. During the rest of the time, my workday underwent a gradual and almost insensible transition that will sound familiar to anyone over the age of 40. It used to be that reading the mail required walking to the mailbox, slicing open envelopes, and other small but real physical exertions. Now we do it by twitching our fingers. Similar remarks could be made about talking on the phone, now replaced by Skype, filing or throwing away documents, now a matter of dragging icons around or, if that's too strenuous, using command-key combinations. Watching television, YouTube, and meeting with coworkers, video conferencing. The portion of the day allocated to staring at pixels kept growing, and my physical movements were increasingly restricted to minute, repetitive movements of the finger and the hand. Wrist, shoulder, and back problems ensued. I spent a lot of money on fancy ergonomic chairs and keyboards. Each of them helped for a few months and then led to a new constellation of injuries. I've lost track of the number of times I've switched between mouse and trackball, left hand and right, trying to stay one step ahead of the pain. After a couple of decades of this, I finally got it through my skull that the problem wasn't that I didn't have just the right chair, keyboard, or pointing device. It was that I stayed in the same position all day long. So more recently, I obtained a treadmill specifically designed for use while working. For several hours a day, I amble along at 1 to 1.5 miles per hour, clicking and typing and talking on the phone. This is easy, by the way. I was worried that it would be difficult to type while walking. It isn't, as long as your keyboard has a wrist rest. I have not had any neck, shoulder, or arm trouble since I began doing this. I am convinced, though I can't prove, that this is because I'm continually in motion, and so whenever I click that mouse button or hit the E key on the keyboard, I'm doing it from a slightly different angle. According to the digital readout on the treadmill, I'm covering as much as 4 or 5 virtual miles per day and burning hundreds of calories. Now my knee hurts a little, though. But more about that in a minute.